Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
The combination of like, Angie, and then Charlie like hitting the hi-hat.
All right, Patrick, we are into the top 10.
You're inside the top 10.
Rolling Stones countdown.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. We really appreciate it.
We're hanging out here at Mike Wagner's house. Mike Wagner is a fabulous host. And thank you very much, Mike, for hosting us all. We have several people, hundreds of people, a cast of people here hanging out at the house and just packed this room. And we're enjoying some Rolling Stones songs. All right. And I'm enjoying a Celebration IPA.
Celebrating the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. All right, so that is the name of the show, Rockin' the Suburbs. I am Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
All right, and let's see. We've done six Stone songs so far from our listeners' poll. Mm-hmm. Now we are up to number 9. Looks like the Jayhawks have scored in that epic football game. All right, so they're going to be up 2 touchdowns. Let's move on from that. Let's hit number 9 here on the countdown.
Angel, when will those clouds all disappear? Angel, where will it lead us from here? With no loving in our souls.
Not too many songs you hear with whispering in them.
That's right.
But there you go.
Especially from the Stones.
Angie from Goat's Head Soup, 1973. That is not considered one of their great albums, but yet people loved this song. Not only our listeners, but this went to number 1.
Wow. Was it really a number 1? I didn't know that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
This was the one I was most surprised that made it.
Same here.
Yeah. I was just like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
As the votes were coming in, it was like, Angie's making a run on the outside. She's coming around the turn. She may get in the top 15. She did not falter at the end. She was steady as she goes.
So I'm curious about this. Who here in this room had this in their top 10?
Julie.
No, Julie did?
Two hands up.
Come on, talk about this song. Because, I mean, I think it's a good song, but I was a little surprised, too, that it's...
Yep. That was the one that caught me off.
So yeah, I want to hear what people love about it.
Yeah.
What I realized is... that I think all of my picks, well, so far, none of the ones that I picked were on your list so far.
Until this one.
Until this one.
Yeah, this one.
And my picks were more ballads and romantic songs. And I just love that. I don't know.
Well, it's a very romantic song, right? This is not Sympathy for the Devil.
No, man. It's a heartbreaker. Yeah. Yeah. When Mick's saying it's time we say goodbye.
That's a good one.
You know, I think it's so interesting, Julie, that a band that started out as this rough and rowdy blues band, you know, that would spark riots wherever they played, developed into this sensitive...
Yes.
You know, I mean, their Stones ballads are... fantastic. I will say, I picked the Stones ballad. It didn't make the top 10. I think it only got 2 votes. I went for Fool to Cry, but I think that's another example of a tender, heartbreaking song.
When they do that, when they set out to do that type of song, they're one of the best bands at doing that.
Yep.
It's just, I love it. love it.
You can put them right up there.
I agree. There's several ballads or slower songs that I think they do really well because it's the feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just a band that had a lot of feeling, so they could do that. They could rock out with like Monkey Man.
Yeah.
And then they could do a song like Angie, right?
Yeah, the Stones could do it. I mean, they're right up there with Poison. As far as, you know, pull out a great ballad.
I would disagree with that comment, but
yeah.
Every rose.
Thank
has
you.
A
That's right. Lighters back around now.
Yeah. Okay. I think Tim has something to say here.
Super short comment. I don't think I put this in my top 10 picks, but there's nothing to me compares to the sound of the combination of like. Angie, and then Charlie like hitting the hi-hat, like his little hit on the hi-hat during the choruses there, that it's just like a second, but to me that makes a song, like just that choice for Charlie to make.
So well said, man.
All right, any other Angie thoughts? Okay, now speaking of how they could, you know, also rock out,
okay.
Here's number 8. Street Fighting Man from Beggar's Banquet, 1968. Only went to number 48.
Wow.
In the U.S., all right? But number 8 in our hearts here on Rock in the Suburbs.
That's right.
I'll just say that, you know, we talked earlier about Sympathy for the Devil. In this same general era, Street Fighting Man. There's another song you may hear later in the countdown from this era.
Maybe.
That just shows how topical the Stones could be, especially in the late 60s, right? That they were commenting on what was happening in the world and to a large extent in the United States, right?
Yeah. And that's an interesting point too, because for me, this song was one of the ones, I mean, my entire education literally was from records. I mean, I learned a few things in school, maybe like the ABCs or something, but mostly I gleaned things from records. But this one helped me understand what sarcasm can be and how it can be used and how it can be changing a meaning. Because when he says the sleepy London town, even I think I knew that in the 60s, you know, London was kind of the center of all creation, you know, and he was making this, you know, blasé observation about it being a sleepy, you know, little river town or whatever. I just always thought was so cool. And that riff that comes in and the way Jagger puts the word no right in there in between it is so brilliant. I mean, I could just listen to that all the time. And Mike Wagner, you made a good point too, that it's actually played on acoustic guitar, and they had a bunch of pedals on it. So that's interesting because you can kind of hear that at times when things drop out that, maybe that is an acoustic guitar.
It's got a great sound to it.
Yeah, it's like the first time I ever went to see the band Spoon, and I don't know if you guys have seen them, and I haven't seen them in 10 years or more, but first time I ever saw him, it was like he's playing an acoustic guitar, and he's making all those rock and roll sounds. It was really cool.
Yeah,
and
put the right effects on it.
Very much influenced by something like this. Yeah.
And of course, the very sly reference to dancing in the street.
That's right.
You know, because summer's here and the time is right for fighting in the street.
I gotta love it.
Right. Yeah. Which was what was going on at that time.
There
was
a
lot of turmoil at that time in history.
Now, this is probably one of the most covered songs.
Is that right?
Yeah, a lot of people have played, at least, you know, from what I was looking at, have played Street Fighting Man, at least ones that sort of cross our radar. I mean, I know Springsteen is doing it for a while and others.
Any gallery comments here on Street Fighting Man? Don't be shy. All right, Mike Wagner.
Okay, two things. Yeah, the guitar is it was the same technique he used for Jumpin' Jack Flash, which will probably, I'm assuming, will be later. It was an acoustic. He played it into a cassette tape type recorder thing, and that's how he got that sound.
Because
it's not, you can, like, if you listen to it, it's not really an electric guitar sound, right? It's got that sort of, it doesn't feel like an electric guitar.
It's got a brittleness to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so this is like one of the last things Brian Jones really, I mean, there was other things, but it was like the sitar in there is really adds a lot to it too, right? I mean, you don't, it's not like it stands out like, say, on Norwegian Wood or something like that, but it's like that, you know. And the last thing, and the lyrics are actually really, really good.
Yeah.
My name is called Disturbance. I love that line, right? That's a great line. And I think it's time for a palace revolution. Like, Mick was, I mean, he kind of lost it lyric-wise. It became kind of like, he became Mick, you know, of the 70s. But, like, up until about Exile, and from this period, like, they're great run of albums, you know, the Grey Four. The lyrics are really good. You know, I don't know if Salt of the Earth made it, but, like, on this album, he had some really, really good lyrics. I know this is one of your favorite albums, is it not?
It is, absolutely. Let's drink to the hardworking people.
Sorry. And Patrick.
And Patrick, that's right.
But yeah, this is one of the great ones. I almost didn't make my list. I almost put Plutter My Soul, but I knew it's like, and this is actually a much better song. Yeah. So
cool. Thank you. Beautiful.
Love it. Well said. Thank
you. Anyone else?
Sure. Oh, Sam.
Right.
So I'm not going to lie, I had no idea what the song was until you played it. But when I was looking up the release dates of both albums, I was looking up the release dates of this album and of the White Album, and I couldn't help but notice that this was probably during the highest competition time of the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, because this record was released in December, and I think the Beatles record was released in November, the White Album.
Mm-hmm.
So it was around that time, I think. And you can tell that there are similar sounds going on in this, and along with some of the more experimental stuff in the White Album. Correct me if I'm wrong. But that is kind of what I picked up on while listening to this and kind of checking dates. But it's a great song, and I'm going to give Beggar's Banquet, I think, a second listen after this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely do, yeah. That's a really interesting point, and I think it coincides kind of with what Mike was saying about the sitar, right? That they were kind of going for those experimental sounds, yeah.
And some people compare this song to Revolution also, because there are themes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Sam, since we've been here this week, I know you came a little late, but you actually went out for a hike.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
How was it?
It was amazing. Went to Harper's Ferry. Never been to Harper's Ferry before.
Nice.
Checked out the town, and also went to a town nearby. I'm already blanking on the name. 20 minutes away from Harper's Ferry, and went into a record store there. And of course, the first section I went to was the Rolling Stones section. That is where I got Mike Wagner, that awesome 67 mono. That was tucked away in there just ever so slightly. And it was a really good trip. I'm going back to West Virginia eventually. So that was fun.
Let's hear it for bringing a Stones record for the host when you're going to a
straight
Stones.
Straight from West Virginia.
Sam brought this lovely...
Great photo.
Yeah.
Another one. Yep.
Between the Buttons.
Yep.
On the London label, mono. Fantastic.
Great picture of Brian in that.
For sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Great record. All right, thank you, Sam.
That one also had Nicky Hopkins on it.
It did. I heard that in there, yep. Okay, this will be the last song of this episode, number 7.
I was born
All right, the Jumpin' Jack Flash. That was a single, 1968. Two things I'll say really quickly on this song. Well, three things I'll say. One is, it's just super fun. It's just a fun song, right? And appropriately released as a single. I think it just has that kind of hit single sort of quality to it. It went to number three in the United States, but I'm sure this was blasting out of car radio speakers, you know, when it came out all over the place. Second thing I'll say is, great first line, "I was born in a crossfire hurricane."
Oh my goodness.
I mean, come on. Yeah. One of the greatest, right? And then the third thing I'll say is, I think, although there's so many good songs on this countdown and so many great songs to choose from, and each has sort of like its own textures to it and different feelings and so on, but I think if you were to take somebody who is not familiar with this band at all and they were like, "What do the Rolling Stones sound like?" this would be a song you would put on.
Absolutely.
And say, like, this is the Rolling Stones,
great
right?
point. Great point. Yeah, it could be considered their template song in many ways. Yeah, great point. Paul Hayden on his ballot wrote, "Jumpin' Jack Flash, is there a better opening riff than this monster? Add Bill Wyman's bass and you've got greatness before Jagger even opens his mouth." So that's pretty interesting, too. Thank you, Paul. He wrote comments for all his songs, as did Mike Wagner. Thank you, guys.
Well, I know somebody here has to have comments on Jumpin' Jack Flash, right? Here comes Kevin
Goff. It's a gas.
Don't get me started. I'm sorry to bring this up, but does anybody remember the movie with Whoopi Goldberg?
That was called Jumpin' Jack Flash?
The lyrics of the song were like part of the mystery of it all.
Oh my
God. And that
God,
was when I learned
that.
The lyrics of that song was in that movie. It was not a good movie at all. But, you know, I could not tell you what the lyrics were before that.
That's
but,
so interesting.
You know, in fact, it's a gas. That was like a clue. So go see the movie. You'll see what I mean. All
right. Well, after that recommendation, how could we not?
That was great.
Here comes Rob Gates.
Robert.
I'm just going to say, sometime in the late 70s, this was the first 45 I ever bought on my own.
Wow.
With my own money.
That is a quality first 45 purchase.
That's right. What
attracted you to this? What attracted you to this song that you made you spend your hard-earned, well, not hard-earned at that point, but made your allowance money on this, right?
Yeah, that's a great question. The riff, clearly, I think it was played a lot still on the radio at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were all raised in rock and roll on the radio at that point. And it was probably the second piece of vinyl I had bought, the first piece of vinyl being the Beatles' Blue album, right? Like, so there we go.
Cool. I like that. And you know, I think that's cool, because I can see when you're younger and you hear a song on the radio and you love the riff. Also, what is a Jumpin' Jack Flash?
I have an answer for
gas.
That. I have an answer for that.
Mike Snyder, everyone.
So, we're not going to watch that movie. I'm going to tell you who Jumpin' Jack is. All right, so this is a lesson about you could get creativity anywhere. Mick was at Keith's house, and he heard some noise, and Mick goes, "What's that noise?" And Keith goes, "That's Jumpin' Jack. That's my gardener, Jumpin' Jack." And then Mick started thinking, "Jumpin' Jack, Jumpin' Jack." And he says he just thought of Flash, and that's how the song came out.
Wow, I didn't never knew that. That's amazing.
You know what it is?
It's Nuggets
a gas,
of
gas, gas.
That's right.
It's right there in the song.
It's a clue.
That's right.
Snyder dropping nuggets of knowledge. I love it.
All right. That gets us...
Okay.
Mike Wagner.
I think Sam sort of alluded to this. Like, I think this is the song where the Stones really became the Stones, right? In a lot of ways, because they were always in the Beatles' shadow a lot, right? I mean, Satanic Majesty's Request was like Sgt. Pepper and kind of, you know, but this is the one where they became the Stones, right? Like do you think? I mean,
I know what you're saying.
As a question, not a statement, actually.
It was like they planted the flag, right?
I definitely can see it. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, kind of about how this is like that quintessential Stone song.
Yeah.
It's this is what we are. Yeah.
It was like summer of 68, was it when it came out?
I believe so. Yeah. That's right.
And it is like, because, you know, the Beatles were sort of a bit on hiatus at that time, right? Because they were off in India doing their thing. And then this came out, and it was like, I mean, it just and it gave them the confidence to do, you know, become what they did. I think this is the first G-tune song that Keith did, which is a big thing.
Well, that was his thing, yeah.
Right? I mean, like, if you're a guitar player, you know, like, you can't play Rolling Stone songs unless you have a G-tune guitar. Because it just doesn't sound right. It just, like, you can play it, but it just doesn't sound right.
Right. Which is why I can't play any Rolling Stones songs on guitar.
I mean, I bought a guitar just so I could leave it tuned in G. Just so I could, like, pick it up and play it. But I think this is where they really became the Stones. And it's like, and we were talking about this the other night. I mean, this is sort of like, they became sort of a band in 63-ish, 62, 63. Right. And it takes you a while to get your sort of sea legs. And this is like, they when they really finally found their footing. I mean, obviously they had great songs before this, don't get me wrong, but this was like, this is the one, right? As you said, this is, I think you're right, this is like, if you're like, tell me about the Rolling Stones in one song, this is the one. All right,
thank you.
Beautiful.
All right, so here we are. Let's see, tomorrow we'll get into the top six.
Yes, we will.
Top six. All right,
we're getting there.
All right. Somebody's going on a beer run right now, so that's good. All right. I guarantee there's some brewery that has a beer called Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Oh, there I has hope to be, so, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Okay, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we will talk to you tomorrow.
No sleep till Brooklyn.